This is Glambition Radio, episode number 20, with business storyteller Colleen DeBase. Welcome to Glambition Radio. I am your host, Allie Brown. Women are rewriting the rules for leadership, business success, making money, and changing the world. Each week, join me for powerful messages and interviews that will leave you inspired and ready to get your Glambition on. Now, let's go. Colleen DeBase, you may not know her name, but you have likely read something she has written or seen her on TV. She is a prominent journalist in the small business and just general business space. She has written for the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and been interviewed as a small business expert on TV and radio. Shows you have seen or listened to, including MSNBC, Fox Business, CNBC, CBS, NPR. And interesting, before she started covering small business, she spent many years writing about white-collar crime. Interesting. So we'll hear her story today and how she ended up in the business space. But most importantly, she is currently director of digital media at The Story Exchange. And this is what I fell in love with when I discovered. It's thestoryexchange.org. And it's a nonprofit media organization devoted to women business owners. It's designed to help women get more exposure for their stories online and in the media. And actually, if you have a story to submit and you'd like to submit your story on how you became a business owner and the story of your business, go to thestoryexchange.org. And we're going to talk about a few things today. One is the state of women in business in the media. Another is, you know, just Colleen's experience with entrepreneurship. She has not been an entrepreneur herself, but I'm curious on her insights into what she sees and hears and thinks after speaking with, you know, thousands of business owners in all of her research. And third, she has a secret blog on curry, which I'm going to be sure to ask about during the show. I've only made curry in the slow cooker. And it takes a long time, so we'll find out more about that. All right, so let's talk to Colleen DeBase. Colleen, welcome to Glambition Radio today.
Wonderful to be here.
Are you in New York today?
I am. I'm in wonderfully chilly New York.
Oh, I hope it's going to warm up there soon because I'm going to be there in a few weeks. Can you do something about that?
I'm trying.
Yeah, that's why I moved.
I don't blame you.
So you are one of the top reporters in the small business space, and you also have a large following and focus on women business owners. Can you tell me where this passion came from you? And feel free to go back into your story because I think it's fascinating.
Well, first of all, you were too kind. I'm not sure if I'm one of the top reporters out there, but I have been covering small business owners for a long time. And in terms of my interest in women business owners, it actually started a while back. I spent many years of my career working for Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal. And for a long time, I was actually a personal finance writer. And I wanted to have a niche within personal finance. And actually, a friend of mine said, you know, there's not a lot of personal finance stories or columns written for women. So could you do something about that? So I started looking into it and I thought, okay, I'll write some personal finance advice for women. And when I started to do that, I found an incredible number of sources out there and everybody wanted to talk to me, all these banks and investment firms and financial services firms. And I was so surprised. I thought, why are all these Wall Street firms interested and, you know, getting advice and their names out there in front of women? Because I thought, you know, a lot of these firms have traditionally, historically targeted men, not women.
Yeah.
And what I found was all of these firms were very interested in women because women, and this was about 10 years ago when I first started noticing this, women were increasingly accumulating wealth because they were starting their own businesses and becoming entrepreneurs. So they had
actually linked that in their minds?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, you know, a lot of these big investment firms and Wall Street firms, they've got a lot of resources and a lot of people working for them who are telling them who to chase after and what markets to tap. So I found it very interesting. So I I started out writing about personal finance for women and was talking to all these different firms that had specific programs for women. And sort of from there, I started looking at women business owners because I found it so fascinating that women who going back decades had been marginalized and, you know, in the not so distant past, women couldn't even get loans without, you know, their husbands co-signing and things like that. I found it fascinating that suddenly women had some power and some leverage here. And the reason for that is that they were starting their own companies and they were becoming entrepreneurs and they were earning their own wealth. And I was fascinating. And that got me into writing about small business, actually, in general, and always with sort of a fondness and an attachment to women business owners. So
have you ever wanted to take the leap yourself?
Yes, I have. I don't know if it's because I don't know why I haven't. Maybe it's because I know too much.
You know what comes with it, don't you?
No, so it's a little scary. But I am still trying to hone in on exactly the right idea, and I think I'm getting closer and closer. So,
well, you have kind of an inside edge now. I mean, of all the interviews you've done, and I have seen your interviews with everything from the guy who founded Chipotle to you know, more recently the work that you do in the Story Exchange and all these incredible women. I mean, what has surprised you the most about entrepreneurship and what it really takes?
I think what has surprised me, and I say this as someone who has always worked for someone else, I've always had sort of a predictability about my work life and my work schedule. What I didn't realize until I started interviewing entrepreneurs is how unpredictable entrepreneurship is and how entrepreneurs really fly by the seat of their pants. And you really have to be comfortable with that. And you really have to be willing to embrace that and to do that. And you not only have to deal with not knowing what tomorrow will bring sometimes, but also you have to be able to juggle so many different roles and responsibilities. As an employee, I've always had a sort of more very specific roles to fulfill within the organization that I work for. Especially when you're starting out and running your own business, you don't have employees yet, you don't have a staff, and you're mm-hmm. doing everything. And I'm sure you have found this yourself. You're everything.
You're fixing the fax machine, and you're writing the marketing plan, and you're, you know, trying to look like you know what you're doing in front of clients. And I remember that, you know, I was in the West Village, right where you are actually. Mm-hmm. And, it's people have no idea until they do it, like how many, you know, tasks come with it. It's terrifying. And a lot of people get into it and I think they don't realize, you know, by the way, are we selling you all yet? This sounds horrible. And all of you listening right now, we're scaring you away. But it is that unpredictability that is the exciting part too. And when you have those wins, that is where you feel like, oh my gosh, I made this happen. This is fantastic. I made this happen and I'm helping these people with this product or this service. And, but you know what's great is, you know, people like us work well together. The entrepreneurs need the people who know how to do a job too, because we're all over the place. We're the crazy creatives.
You know, to your point, to what you just said, you know, here I am talking about my shock and finding about how entrepreneurship is so unpredictable. And to me, it seems so scary. What I have always found in talking to entrepreneurs and why I continue to interview entrepreneurs is I love to hear the excitement and enthusiasm in the voices of entrepreneurs. And let me tell you, you don't hear that when you talk to someone who's doing sort of the daily corporate grind. You don't hear that excitement. So that has always kept me so fascinated as a journalist in the coverage of entrepreneurship, because I just I'm just so drawn to it. And I love that. Love hearing how people get so excited and passionate about their ideas. It's really fun.
We have to stay passionate. Otherwise, we would just roll over and die. I mean, it's because we have to, because it gets bumpy. And, you know, that's where a lot of people stop. We hear that statistic. What is it? The 9 out of 10 businesses fail in the first 5 years. It's probably gotten worse in people's minds. But I always shift that. And I tell people it's that the business owner gave up. It's not that they failed, because they gave up when they realized what they had to do, what it took. Maybe it was putting in more money or finally hiring somebody or getting, you know, they maybe started a business and didn't realize, oh my gosh, I need to get out there and market. I need to do this. Mm-hmm. So it's just a different world. And for women especially, I have found it's an incredibly personal journey. And that's something I would love your opinion on. But in the hundreds of women I've worked with, and I work with more of the women who are in those starting stages of starting these very personal businesses, they're becoming coaches, consultants, personal trainers, you know, financial coaches, more of the solo professional, we call them. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible journey because for the first time in their life, often they are banking completely on themselves.
Totally.
And it brings up all their issues. This brings up anything that could come up in the process. And, you know, in the women that you've interviewed, including the Story Exchange, which I want to talk about next, you know, what do you see of that personal side, especially for the women who are really stepping into their power?
Well, one of the things that I've seen and what we see at the Story Exchange, where we talk to all sorts of women entrepreneurs, we see that women are really list personal reasons for starting a business. One of the things, we have this research project called The 1000 Stories, where we ask women to tell us all the reasons why they started their business. And we'll eventually, you know, analyze all that data and release a report on it. But what we have heard from probably about 800 women now. And one of the things that we're so struck by is that women say they start a business not to, you know, make a ridiculous amount in profit or to accumulate wealth. They say they start a business to make a difference, and which is, you know, so that's all very feel good and all that. But I actually really think that is what drives so many women to start a business. And I think that, I don't know if you would see that. I don't know if you would hear that, certainly, if you ask that same question of male entrepreneurs. I think the reasons why men might start a business are different than the reasons why a woman might. And I think it is much more personal for a woman. And we see an incredible number of social enterprises that women are creating. There's a desire to, you know, raise awareness for an issue or to give money to charity or maybe do something that's very eco-friendly. So, you know, that's definitely something I've seen.
Got it. So let's talk about the Story Exchange. And were you one of the founders, or were you pulled in, or did you discover this? How did it happen?
I was pulled in. The two co-founders are Victoria Wong and Sue Williams, who have very interesting backgrounds themselves. Victoria Wong is a retired banking executive, so she worked in the financial world for many, many years. And then Sue is a documentary filmmaker, an award-winning documentary filmmaker. And so they kind of put their brains together and they both were feeling that there wasn't enough news coverage of women business owners. So they created, and it's a nonprofit, they created this nonprofit company. It's a media site called The Story Exchange. And we do a lot of video profiles of women business owners, and they're wonderfully produced videos that show the background a woman comes from, why she wanted to start the business. We show her in her business working, her goals, her aspirations. And we also, in addition to producing those videos, we do articles about women business owners, or we do articles that are of interest to women business owners, you know, for everything from what's coming out of Washington to the results of the latest study to, you know, the latest incubator that's launched that could be of interest to women business owners. So that's what the Story Exchange is about.
And what is your involvement with them? You are director of digital media.
So when I was pulled in, I like that. When I was pulled
in. Tell me, what is the pulling in? Did they find you or did you hear about this and go, I am pulled to this?
Well, actually, it was sort of a big decision for me because I had worked in mainstream media for my entire career. I've always worked for very big news organizations, pretty much. Like I was saying before, I worked for the Wall Street Journal, and then I was most recently working for Entrepreneur Magazine. So it was, I was at sort of a point in my life where I wanted to do something different. I wasn't really happy with a lot of what I was seeing in the media industry. I think we're all consumers of media, so we see it when we're on the internet. You probably know what I mean. There's every article now that's being produced is, you know, 10 reasons to do this, or, you know, seven, you know,
keys.
I just saw one like seven celebrity couples who will never get a divorce. You know, it's all this very clickbaity thing where it's just the point of the article is just so you click on it, it'll make some advertiser happy.
And don't you get sucked into that sometimes and you're embarrassed? Because I do.
Yes, I totally get sucked.
I'll be researching something like really serious and suddenly I'm clicking on Kim Kardashian. I'm like, I really can't stop. I please don't let me do this. And I do it. And then you're derailed. And a lot of it's disappointing how a lot of the news sites are going that direction.
Exactly. And that is what I was finding, including, you know, what had been respectable news organizations where I found that they were increasingly doing this. And I found that I had to do this if I wanted to stay working at those organizations. And it made me very unhappy. So I was looking for a change, and it was a little bit of a leap of faith for me to go work for a very teeny nonprofit. But I think pulled in would be a good way to phrase it, just because I was pulled in by the concept and by the fact that these, you know, kind of two scrappy women had started this site. So that was a few months ago, and it's been wonderful. Since I have joined, we've started this partnership actually with the New York Times, which is wonderful. It gives us a larger platform, and it allows us to supply what we feel is really great content to the New York Times.
So, and when you want to go take a look at this, it's thestoryexchange.org. thestoryexchange.org. And women, we should go there to be inspired. Can we also, if there's a woman listening who has a unique story, you know, what are you looking for the site, for these particular stories?
Yeah. So I had mentioned it before, we do something called the Thousand Stories Project. And if you go to our website, there's a big tab that's called the Thousand Stories Project. And that is this research project that we're doing in conjunction with Babson College, where we're asking women. And it can be any woman. It can be a woman who's working out of her home. That's, in fact, a lot of the women we hear from are women who are starting up teeny little operations. They don't even know sometimes if they can call it a business yet, but that's fine. We want to hear from you. On the other hand, if you have a large business, you know, a larger business like 50 to 100 employees, if you've been in business for many years and are doing well, we want to hear from you too. So when you submit your story to us, and there's a form on our site, you tell us about the reasons you started, you tell us how you got your financing, how you tell us about the challenges you've faced, your goals, what you hope to accomplish. And once you do that, we collect that data, and that goes into this larger research project. But we then publish like a mini profile of you on our site. And it's a nice way, especially if you are one of those women who are working out of your home and you're just getting going. It's a nice way to have this little profile of you in the media. And it's something you can share. You can share it on social media. You can share it with your friends and family. You know, so we really encourage women to do that. One of our missions is to change the media narrative. We find that in the coverage of small business, especially in mainstream media, you hear a lot about, you know, the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world and the people starting tech firms who, you know, are largely white and male. And you're not hearing so much about the women who are starting, you know, maybe it's a smaller shop or maybe it's a smaller operation, but you know what, they're contributing to their community, they're providing for their family, they're creating jobs, they're helping the U.S. economy, or they're helping the global economy, depending on where they're based. So, you know, we're just trying to get some well-deserved exposure for some of these women.
Yeah, it does blow me away. You know, ever since I started becoming really focused on the female entrepreneurship and really made that my mission, you know, I started turning into some of these business shows, and it blew me away. There is nothing for all these, I mean, millions of women in the United States, not even a show for them that is really out there. I'm talking to, you probably know her, JJ Ramberg, in a few weeks, and interviewing her, and she has really one of the few business shows on there, but it's not female focused.
Right, right. Yeah, it's funny when you start to look for it, that's when you notice that it's lacking. But yeah, there's an incredible stat that I believe comes from, actually it's American Express. They do something called the Small Business Monitor, and which is released, I think, in the spring and fall each year. And one of the more recent ones was looking back at how male and female owned businesses have done since the recession. And the stat is showing that women owned businesses have contributed a substantial number more jobs than male owned businesses since the recession. And, you know, that is something that I feel not many people know about, because again, that a lot of the media attention goes towards sort of like these hot tech startups that are certainly deserving to be in the spotlight. But there are, you know, thousands of women out there working hard out of their homes, out of their communities, who collectively are contributing so much. And, you know, we just want to give them more exposure.
Yeah. I mean, less than 2% of women-owned businesses in the United States do typically make it over the seven-figure mark. But that's no reason to leave out. I mean, it's a movement going on, and women are starting businesses at a faster rate than men are actually right now. I mean, it's just booming. And just thank you to you and the Story Exchange for bringing this to the forefront. And how can we support you and this mission?
Oh, our pleasure. Please check out our site. We love to have visitors to our site. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We just started an Instagram account. tell us your story through our Thousand Stories project. And check us out in the New York Times. We're part of the small business section there, the You're the Boss blog. So check us out. Read us. Tell us your story. We want to hear from you.
Fantastic. And everyone should also pick up Colleen's book that she wrote for the Wall Street Journal. It's called The Complete Small Business Guidebook. That's gotten some great reviews. And anything else we should look at? What's next for you? Do you see anything else on the horizon? Are you doing any side projects that are exciting? Or what about your curry thing? I had to ask you about the curry. Colleen has a curry blog, and I have to know about the curry blog.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but since you... that's really just been a more unusual hobby that I've had for many years. And I have a little, a food blog called crackingcurry.com. It's called Cracking Curry because I'm trying to crack the code of curry. If you are, you know, a white girl like me from upstate New York originally, it's hard really to know how to make a good, authentic curry. I started out trying to make Indian curries, and now my specialty is Thai curries. And, you know, to figure out how to make those delicious dishes when you don't have a grandmother you can call to ask how to make them, and, you know, and when it's hard to find the authentic ingredients, it's really tough. So it's been a journey for me, and it's just a really fun hobby that I have. And I've been working on that little food blog for many years, and I in the back of my mind, I think, well, maybe that's something I could turn into.
I like the book title, like Cracking the Curry Code.
Thank you.
A white girl's journey to the perfect curry, something like that. And is your husband sick of curry at this point?
No, he loves curry. In fact, that's sort of how we met. I actually did a blog post on my curry blog about this, but we actually met at a bar a few years ago.
The old-fashioned way.
I know. I wish I could say it was something, you know, something much more intellectual. But we met at a bar. But we started. We were just chit chatting, and he mentioned that he had lived in Hong Kong, and I had just come back from Asia because I had been taking some cooking classes in Bangkok.
Oh my gosh.
We started yeah, we started talking about it. He checked out my curry blog, actually tracked me down after that night. He tracked me down by finding my curry blog, and he sent me an email and asked me out for curry. And we went out for curry, and yeah, and then got married last year.
Congratulations. All the women in New York are like, now how'd you meet your man? You're like, you just go to a bar. I mean, it's the old-fashioned way. Never worked for me. I had to try other ways.
And have a curry blog.
Yeah, fantastic. And now, do you still do business side projects as well, or is the curry just your main thing besides the story exchange?
That's really my main thing. So.
Got it. Okay, fantastic. So great to chat with you, Colleen, and we'll catch up with you on social media. And everyone should go to thestoryexchange.org. Go watch these stories, support these women, and get involved. And if you have, you know, a story to share, go there, and there's a link where they can submit their story, Colleen?
Yes, there is. Yep. There's a tab that says 1,000 stories.
Fantastic. Thank you for all you do. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been great.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Glambition Radio. If you did, please go to alliebrown.com and join the conversation about the show on my blog. And while you're there, be sure to grab a copy of my free CD, Top 10 Success Secrets for Entrepreneurial Women. It's free and it's jam-packed with powerful tips to help you on your path to success. That's alliebrown.com. Take care and God bless.